Good morning, and thank you for coming in this morning. I'm David Hatfield here in the studios. I brought a copy of the Dearborn County Register with me, and I was thinking maybe you and I could read the paper together. The paper is dated the 7th of November, 2019. That makes it right in the middle of election week. And we have the results of the election. That's our number one story. The number two headline is Green Space Plan Aims to Make the Levee Walk Cooler. The third headline, Yes Home Adds a New Activity Center. We're going to go through the details behind the number one, two, and three headlines. And we'll also check into more regional news, the obituaries, the happenings in our area, an editorial, and the sports, all on today's Dearborn County Register. Here comes those election results, and the story is by Joe Awad. Slice and dice the numbers as you please, but the bottom line of the 2019 Dearborn County municipal elections is that Aurora, Lawrenceburg, and Greendale residents will be governed by decidedly different leaders starting January 1st. In hotly contested Lawrenceburg races, Republican Mayor Kelly Malone held on to his job with 54% of the vote by besting two-time councilman and Democrat Aaron Cook. Aurora, however, will begin the year with new mayor Mark Drury, who took 56% of the tally to beat Democrat Melvin Creamer. The post was vacated by longtime Mayor Donnie Hastings. The council races in Lawrenceburg and Greendale went hither and thither, with some incumbents hanging on and others booted from the program. Lawrenceburg has a potential controversy hanging fire on the outcome of the District 4 race. Republican newcomer Lenny Fryman squeaked by incumbent Democrat Randy Abner, 108 to 107. Doesn't get much closer than that. Former Mayor Dennis Carr, who ran as an independent, nabbed 87 votes. Now, Lawrenceburg District 2 also was a humdinger, with non-incumbent and Republican Justin Knoppert defeating non-incumbent Democrat Regina Reibold, 99 to 89. In District 3, Tom Rowlett Sr. defeated Alan Mooch Calloway with 62% of the tallies. Rowlett is Republican, Calloway a Democrat. Now, Republican incumbent Tony Abbott ran away in a three-horse race in District 1, besting Democrat and former Councilwoman Jan Pope and independent Dennis Hutchins. Abbott took 52% of the vote. The at-large race saw newcomer and war hero Brent Bondurant soundly defeat incumbent Democrat Paul Seymour Jr. Bondurant took 60% of the vote. The GOP won the night in Lawrenceburg, turning the five-member council into a Republican citadel starting in January. The clerk-treasurer's race was no different, with GOP challenger Mark Fett trouncing Richard Richardson 620 to 470. Now, Richardson was appointed to the job by the Democratic Central Committee. The GOP theme, as in last year's county elections, dominated over the Dems in the straight ticket category with 61% compared to 39% for Dems. In Greendale, incumbents Matt McCool, Ty Bowell, and Scott Lippert are out. Republican McCool lost to Democrat Rebecca Barhorst, 115 to 88 in district. Bowell lost to Republican Brett Hamilton, 123 to 104 in district. And Lippert, an independent, lost to Republican Vincent Karstetter and Democrat Aaron Marqua. Karstetter, who is the high vote getter in all contested races, grabbed 739 votes. Marqua, 564, and Lippert, 538. Longtime incumbent Republican Walt Doc Wilson won 115-56 over Democrat Christine Craig. Aurorans reelected Republican John Borgman with 55% of the vote over Democrat Dan Vallis in District 1. Republican Fred Lester defeated Democrat Tristik Shekels Howard, 330-212 in District 4, and Republican incumbent Patrick Schwing, with 61% of the vote, defeated Democrat Rick Orcutt for council at large. Voter turnout overall was 26%. Joe A. Wadd also has our second headline. It's the Green Space Plan, aiming to make the levee walk cooler. You may not have it made in the shade, but folks who visit the Lawrenceburg Levee Walk will be provided some shade as part of a $350,000 green space enhancement development recently approved by City Council. The initial agreement, unanimously passed Monday, October 21st, gives Strand Associates the go-ahead to size up the project site between the Ivy Tech and Partners in Health buildings, collect the data, move forward with preliminary design concepts and schematics, said Mayor Kelly Malone. The idea, which has been on the back burner for years, would benefit the city and residents in several ways, said Malone, explaining one advantage would be that folks who cannot walk up the levee steps could park in the city garage and walk directly to the green space area. Not quite a park, but certainly not a patch of grass, Councilman Paul Seymour said. The green space could be the beginning of a much larger endeavor because there is a lot of square footage with which to work. Quote, this is something the town has been trying to get done for years as an introduction to our river. So this could be a start, depending on how people use it, he said. Denise Freitag-Burdett brings us our third story. The Yes Home adds a new activity center. Let me take a minute to introduce you to Mac. That is the loving nickname that has been bestowed upon the new McLaughlin Activity Center at the Yes Home in Manchester. The Yes Home, also known as the James B. Wiseman Youth Home, is a residential group home for youth ages 12 to 20, providing a structured, nurturing environment for abused, neglected, and abandoned children. The activity center is a place the kids will be able to burn energy and work through emotions, said Yes Home Director Amy Phillips. There was no place to construct a comparable space in the main building of the home, which was built in 1882. It is listed on the National Historic Landmark Registry, by the way. The new space includes a game room, a space for yoga, weight room, and a gym with basketball hoops. Quote, with the schedule our youth have, school, counseling, family visits, groups, etc., it is difficult to drive 20 to 30 minutes one way to get to the YMCA or a community center. Having a facility on site allows us to fit exercise and wellness activities into our schedule on a daily basis, said Phillips. When schools are closed, the kids will have a place to expend their energy, she said. Now in news briefs from Greendale, the City of Greendale Board of Works will meet at 6 p.m. Wednesday, November 13th in the City Administration Building. That's at 500 Ridge Avenue. Then at 7 p.m., the City Council will meet at that same location. That's the City Administration Building, 500 Ridge Avenue. From Indianapolis, all veterans and active duty military personnel and everyone in their vehicle will be admitted free to DNR state parks, reservoir properties, state forest recreation areas, and state off-road vehicle riding areas on Veterans Day, November 11th. This includes admission to Falls of the Ohio State Parks Interpretive Center. Quote, "We appreciate the sacrifices and service of our veterans and active duty military and look forward to recognizing them with a day to explore some of the best outdoor places in our state," said Dan Bortner, director of Indiana State Parks. For proof of military status, gate attendants will accept discharge papers, veteran license plates, U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs Disability and Award Letter, Veterans Hunting and Fishing License, documents showing veteran benefits with veteran's name on the document, and any other certificate or verification letter or form that establishes past or present military service. From Versailles, the public is invited to Versailles State Park on November 9th for an open house celebrating Brat Natural Area, a newly opened part of the park. The open house is 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. and begins with comments from Dan Bortner, director of Indiana State Parks, and recognition of the Brat family. Clifty Falls State Park interpretive naturalist Kayla Leach will lead a guided hike at 1:30. Throughout the afternoon, guests can take a walk on their own, and there will be light refreshments provided during the event. Brat Natural Area is located along U.S. 50 east of Versailles State Park's entrance, and there's a parking lot located on South County Road 300 East near U.S. 50. Ivy Tech Community College in Lawrenceburg recently partnered with the Indiana Youth Institute to host two poverty simulation exercises for the community. During the four-hour workshops, participants were provided with an opportunity to assume the role of a low-income family member living on a limited budget. They were then faced with making critical decisions on how to provide for their families over the course of an entire month. Quote, "We are at the Fairbanks School of Public Health, are encouraged to see other educational partners, like Ivy Tech, recognizing the role poverty plays in the lives of so many Hoosier families. We are grateful so the students who felt compelled to participate in such a learning experience and are appreciative of the volunteers who offered their time," commented Chandy Dirth. Dirth and Dr. Ross Silverman, both from the Indiana University Richard M. Fairbanks School of Public Health, served as facilitators for the workshops. Approximately 150 members of the community participated in the workshops, sponsored by Big Brothers Big Sisters of Greater Cincinnati and One Community, One Family. Now it's time for the obituaries for this week, November 7th, 2019. Evelyn Ferguson passed away peacefully at home in Indianapolis. That's spelled F as in Frank, E-R, G as in George, U, S as in Sam, O, N as in Nancy. And she passed away on October 30th. White Sanders Funeral Home in Fisk, Missouri, is in charge of arrangements. Frances Laurie Witherid, spelled W-I-T as in Tom, H as in Harry, E-R-E-D as in David, passed away Friday, November 1st. Fitch Denny Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. Dallas E. Jones, J-O-N as Nancy, E-S as in Sam of Aurora, died Monday, November 4th. Ruhlman Hunger Funeral Home. The editorial this week is by Denise Freitag Burdett. "My kid made the honor roll. That may not seem like a big deal to someone with one of those My Kid is an Honor Roll student stickers permanently attached to their bumper, but in my house it was cause for celebration. Overall, his grades are not bad. He had come close before. One other time he earned B's in all of his classes. I thought for sure, but no, he needed at least one A. He was so sad. Of course, Evan is not perfect. He would rather watch YouTube videos than read. He would rather play with Nerf guns than read. He would rather dig a hole in the yard than read. Well, you get the picture. Reading does not come easy to him. He struggles. It is difficult for someone like me to understand. I always thought reading was fun. I would read all day. Yet, he was trying. All his teachers tell me he works so hard. He does everything he is asked. His biggest fault, he is too hard on himself. He calls himself dumb, and I hate that. He is so witty and funny. He also is one of the kindest kids you ever will meet. So, everyone involved in his education worked hard to find ways to help him. He hated it at first. He is still not thrilled about it sometimes. He does not want to feel different. Convincing him was not easy. There were so many tears. But again, he did what everyone asked. And there it was for the first quarter of the 2019-20 school year. His name on the honor roll. His smile was worth everything. In a world where parents always post the best of the best accomplishments of their kids on social media, it can be easy to forget the kids who are giving everything they have just to bring their grades up to a C. They may not be on the honor roll, but sometimes they work just as hard. I asked him if it was okay to share his struggle as a reminder that kids are more than their grades, more than the scores on the standardized tests. He said, sure. Then he went back to playing a video game. Will he make the honor roll again? I hope so. I doubt he will be on it all the time, but that's okay. I just want him to try his best. Besides, isn't making the honor roll like winning an Academy Award? Once you have one, you can be referred to as an Oscar winner for the rest of your life. That works for making the honor roll, too, right? Excuse me, I need to order bumper stickers. Denise Freitag-Burdett is the assistant editor of the Journal Press and the Dearborn County Register. Now let's take a look at the happenings. Happenings from the past and happenings around town right now. We're going to start off 25 years ago. Aurora received a $500,000 grant for sanitary sewers. South Dearborn football had five sets of brothers. And Bright residents were considering city status. Now, 50 years ago, that would be November of 1969, Stedman Foundry unveiled a new product line, and a parade was planned for Veterans Day. 100 years ago, October 1919, Clara Taylor offered private dancing lessons at Fitch Hall. Sawden Ridge, Victor Weinman installed a new light plant at his house, and the largest naval planes in the world would pass over Lawrenceburg. That in October of 1919. But what's going on in our area right now? Right now is Saturday, November 9th, and do you crave some turkey? Turkey is going on at Batesville United Methodist Church's annual turkey dinner. It's 4 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. today. They're located at 106 South Park Avenue in Batesville. Adult dinners are $12. Children 12 and under are $6. Dinners are served carry-out style with seating available to those who wish to stay. More information at BatesvilleUM at etczone.com. That is spelled B as in boy, A, T as in Tom, E, S as in Sam, V as in Victor, I, L, L, E, U, M as in Mary, at E, T as in Tom, C as in Charlie, Z as in Zebra, O, N as in Nancy, E.com. You want to learn more about the Beatles? Well, you can do that this afternoon as well from 2:30 to 3:30 at the Lawrenceburg Public Library. And exploring the music of the Beatles, a 60-minute part history, part musical analysis by Doctor of Arts Aaron Krorich. Now, this presentation spans the full 1960s, beginning with the band's seminal Visits to Hamburg. So that's over at the Lawrenceburg Public Library. More information at www.lpld.lib.in.us. That's www.l as in Larry, p as in Paul, l as in Larry, d as in David, dot L as in Larry, I, B as in boy, dot I, N as in Nancy, dot U, S as in Sam. The Winter Wonderland Arts and Crafts Bazaar is going on as we speak. It's from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. today at the South Ripley Elementary School on Benham Road in Versailles. Shop a huge variety of vendors, including artists and crafters, homemade candy, cookies, cheese balls. Enjoy lunch featuring broccoli soup and homemade pies. And that's all going on at the location. More information, you can contact Brenda Ambrecht. That's BARMBRECHT at hotmail.com. That is B as in boy, A-R, M as in Mary, B as in boy, R as in Robert, E, C as in Charlie, H as in Harry, T as in Tom, at hotmail.com. The ice rink is happening today. The grand opening of the Lawrenceburg Ice Rink at Todd Creech Park is Saturday, today. It starts at noon. You can check on the hours and the prices by going to www.thinklawrenceburg.com. That's T as in Tom, H as in Harry, I N K L as in Larry, A W R E N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie, E B as in boy, U R G as in George.com. Euchre tournament tomorrow. It's going to be held at the American Legion Post 452 in New Alsace. And the doors open Sunday at noon. Games begin at 1 o'clock. As usual, the entry fee $5 and cash payout to the four highest scores. More information at 812-623-3695. Time now for the sports page. Jim Buchberger tells us that there were two important games last night, among many others. East Central was at Mooresville. That was the 7 p.m. kickoff at Pioneer Stadium. And then Lawrenceburg was at Greensburg. And that was at Shriver Field at 7 p.m. as well. And, of course, our print deadline was Thursday, so we don't have the results of those games. Mr. Buchberger also tells us that the Lady Knights must mature very quickly. There will be plenty of opportunity for on-the-job training for South Dearborn girls basketball as it opens its 2019-20 varsity season this week. In their second year under head coach Doug Robertson, the Lady Knights return three varsity starters from last year's 10 and 14 crew, headed into a tall order against EIAC Class 4A Power East Central. They were 18 and 7 last year. Now, the 2019-20 season will see multiple players getting opportunities to play varsity basketball, Robertson said. We will return three players who started a game last season, with a fourth returning after being sidelined in 2018-19. We will have a lot of inexperienced players seeing varsity action for the first time this year, and the overall look will depend on how quickly they mature during the season. Well, Jim Buchberger also checked out the East Central Lady Trojans as they get underway at St. Leon. After graduating six seniors from last year's 18-7 EIAC champions, East Central girls basketball could be perceived to be in store for somewhat of a down year in 2019-20. But don't mention it to program-building 12th-year head coach Kevin Moore and company, whose most recent team ranked number 3 in Class 4A in defensive points allowed, with EC's fourth league title in 8 years. Quote, just as we are every year, we're excited to see the individual talent that we have come together to be a successful team, Moore said. While we may be young on paper, we have a lot of really skilled basketball players that have put in a lot of time to their development. Well, there's some sports going on today. That's Saturday, the 9th of November. For example, East Central is playing at Heritage Christian in Indianapolis. That's both varsity and reserve basketball, at 1 and 2:30 respectively. Lawrenceburg is at Batesville, varsity and reserve, games at 6 and 7:30. And South Dearborn has a tip-off tournament going on. That's in Aurora. And there are a whole lot of teams going together at that tournament, going on at 11 a.m., going straight through until the final game for the winner is at 5:30 p.m. That's all the time we have today, though, for the Dearborn County Register. I'm David Hatfield, and it's been a pleasure reading with you today. Let's do this again next week. Same time, same place. In the meantime, if you have a question or concern, give us a call at 513-487-4245. And you could leave a message. If nobody answers, we'll get right back to you. For now, though, please stay tuned for more information on the radio reading services of Greater Cincinnati.